pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Standing here thinking about it, looking back over my life, Lord, you sure been good to me. When I was down and out, I didn't have a dime. You made a way for me so many times. Lord, you bought me you have. Oh, yes. Master, you've been a mother for me. And Lord, you've been a father too. You didn't leave me. You stayed right by my side. My troubles came, only you, Lord, wiped the tears from my eyes. I could have been dead, sleeping in my grave. Oh, but you made my enemies behead. Lord, you bought me from a mighty long way. You
Want us to look behind ourselves. I think that one reason some people can't praise God is because they never look back to see how far the Lord has brought them from. But come on, if you know he's brought you a mighty long way, come on, if you know he brought you all the way, never would have made it by myself if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. Oh my, come on, Sister Brown, tell us one more time. Yes, Lord, he brought me. Thank you, choir. Amen. I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. He brought me from a mighty long way. Thank you, Lord. Nehemiah, chapter 4. Bless your name, O God. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, God, that you will speak a word into our hearts and into our minds, oh God, that will transform us, that will impact our lives in such a way that we will be encouraged to go all the way with you. We thank you and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, there you will find these words. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Verse 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Thank you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. As we continue, thank you, ushers, as we continue with our series, Fighting to Win, we're going to be looking at one of the most common battles that we face in this life, and that is the battle against discouragement. To ask somebody if they've ever been discouraged is just like asking them if they're human. Because if we would have a testimony service here this morning, we would all have to admit that either now or at some points in our past, we have had to deal with discouragement. And it is my prayer this morning, amen, that if you're one who's fighting that battle against discouragement, that you will allow the Holy Spirit to speak a word into your heart to revive your soul again. There's a story that one day the devil was having a yard sale, and he had all this stuff out in his yard. He had jealousy for sale. He had envy for sale. He had bitterness for sale. And, of course, being the shrewd businessman that the devil is, everything was overpriced. One potential buyer came up, and he noticed that there was one item on the porch. And he asked the devil, how much do you want for that? And the devil said, no, that's not for sale. That's why it's on the porch and not in the yard. That's not for sale. That's one of my favorite tools to use against people, one of my most effective tools. And the man said, well, can you at least tell me what it is? And the devil said that that is the tool of discouragement. And I've come by today, my brothers and sisters, because we need to be reminded that some of the greatest men and women of the Bible had to fight against discouragement. You Bible readers will remember that Job became greatly discouraged after losing everything he had, even his children. And to add insult to injury, you recall that his own wife, amen, told him, man, your situation is so bad, you ought to just curse God and die. And as if that were not enough, his best friends came to him and said, the reason you're suffering, the reason you're going through hell is because of sin in your life. You must imagine that Job had to be discouraged. John the Baptist faced terrible discouragement. He was thrown into a dark prison cell. In fact, he was so discouraged that he sent some of his followers to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah? Or should we look for another? You Bible readers will remember that the prophet Elijah, he was so discouraged because of that bad mamma jamma Queen Jezebel. She put out a warrant for his death, and the Bible says that he was so discouraged that he ran and hid under a tree. In his first letter to Timothy, even the apostle Paul talked about the discouragement that he experienced after having been abandoned by Demas and Hymenaeus and Alexander, who had once worked as his faithful co-laborers in the gospel. My brothers and sisters, the truth of the matter is, if you are a follower of Christ, Satan is going to do everything he possibly can to discourage you. Can I tell you why? It's because the devil knows that a discouraged Christian is a defeated Christian. Oh, y'all don't hear me today. I guarantee that's why some folk couldn't get with the praise and worship. I guarantee that's why some folk can't say amen. They can't say praise the Lord because they have allowed life situations and life circumstances to get them so discouraged. You do understand that God wants us to be a people of courage. God wants us to be people who walk by faith and not by sight. He tells us over and over again in the Bible to be of good courage. Amen. But the devil wants to discourage us. So as we think about fighting to win against discouragement, I've given you as a backdrop for this message, Nehemiah chapter 4. And we've read verses 1 through 10. Now let me just kind of refresh you on the history of this passage. God chose Nehemiah to rebuild the great wall around Jerusalem that had been destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 BC. The Bible tells us that it took Nehemiah and those builders, watch this, 52 days. Let me hear everybody say 52. It took them 52 days to rebuild that wall. Now, that doesn't sound like a long time. Amen. 52 days during that time period. They didn't have the modern conveniences, amen, of construction and technology that we have today. But the Bible says the people had a mind to work. It took them 52 days to rebuild the wall. But along the way, Nehemiah and his fellow workers had to deal with discouragement. I want us, first of all, to look at some of the causes of their discouragement, and what we will find is that the same things that discourage them are some of the same things that will discourage us if we let it. Amen? The first thing we notice in verse 10, the A part of verse 10, is that their discouragement was caused because of fatigue. In the A part, it says, then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is decayed. In the original Hebrew, the meaning of that phrase, the strength of the laborers is decayed, literally meant they were stumbling and staggering under the heavy load. Remember, I told you that this wall building project required 52 days of hard, back-breaking labor. These men were picking up huge pieces of stone from the wall that had been torn down 70 years earlier. And now here they are trying to put all of those broken pieces back together again, sort of like a jigsaw puzzle. And when we come here to verse 10, the project is only half done. For 30 straight days, they've been working and working from sun up to sundown, and they are just halfway through. Fatigue has caught up with them. They've lost their strength. And when they lost their strength, they lost their courage. In other words, they became discouraged. I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that sometimes the discouragement that we feel in our spirit and in our heart is simply because we need to rest. I know that's not deep. I know that's not what you were expecting to hear. But I need you to understand that even God in his creative process implemented a day of rest. And so don't ever think, amen, that you're so strong and you're so powerful. You're here, you're there, you're trying to do everything. But God fixed us so that sometimes we ought to have enough sense to set ourselves down. Is there anybody here who knows that if we don't get enough sense to sit ourselves down, our bodies have a way of sitting down on us? Don't allow yourself to be defeated and discouraged simply because you need to go to bed at night. And I don't know where this mentality comes from church folk. Church folk think that you don't need a vacation. Come on, where are my cruise line folk at? Where are my folk who don't mind finding an island paradise somewhere, getting away? Amen. Because what sense does it make for you to go to work every day, every week, all year long, dealing with negative energy, dealing with haters, dealing with folk who smile in your face, but all the time they're trying to take your place? And sometimes, you know, come on, don't y'all get super spiritual on me. You on the verge of cussing somebody out. Somebody up in here, you brought some in your purse. It's in your pocketbook because you said it just one more. They got one more time, and I'm going to show them. Amen. And what God is telling you, thank God, amen, if you don't let this physical man, this physical mind get some rest, it will make you act a fool. Get yourself somewhere and get you some rest and watch the Holy Spirit renew your joy. Replenish your strength. Amen. So some discouragement is because we don't get enough rest. I've had some pastors say to me, y'all know sometimes we'll have a whole week of activities or we'll have a whole weekend of activities, and then I'll get up here and say, what? This is going to be a week of what? Rest. And I've had some of my pastor friends say, you mean y'all ain't going to have Bible study this week? You're not going to have choir? No, we're going to get some rest, because what I've discovered is I can do my best work for God when I've been revived, when I've been rejuvenated, and it's the same way with you. So fatigue caused the wall builders to become discouraged. But then the second cause of discouragement that we can see in our text, in the B part of verse 10, it says, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish. So here's the second source of discouragement, frustration. It seemed to them, now again, they're 30 days in, and they're looking at what they've done so far, and when they look at what they've done so far, and then look down at the ground, at all of the stones, the rocks, and the rubbish, they conclude there's more on the ground to be done than we've already done. And so they get discouraged. They get discouraged. They're frustrated. Amen. It looks like there were a whole lot more bricks and stones on the ground than on the wall. Simply put, they saw little fruit from all of their labor. Y'all, we've all experienced that frustration, haven't we? We've worked for days or weeks or even months. Some of you, even with your children, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you've poured everything you know into that son. You've poured everything you know into that daughter, and they're still acting stone crazy. You know you've had them to read the Bible. You've taught them how to pray. You've taught them about God and his power, and yet they still choose to go the wrong way. And you've got to admit, that's frustrating. But I've come by today to tell you, don't let frustration discourage you. Amen, amen. But fatigue and frustration, those are two causes of discouragement. But then here's the third cause. In verses 11 and 12, it says, and our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. So here they are working, trying to rebuild this wall. But their enemies and their haters are passing by them every day, teasing them, picking at them, telling them, you better watch your back. You better watch your back. We're going to tell you, amen. And so the Bible says that while they were trying to build the wall, fear sets in. That's the third cause of discouragement, fear, amen. They became afraid. The Bible says that their enemies were messing with them so bad that a group of them had to get spears while the other group was building. It says that their enemies were messing with them so bad that some of them were building with one hand and had a spear in the other hand. And that caused them great fear. And let me tell you, if you let the devil cloud your mind with fear, that is one of the quickest routes to discouragement. I heard somebody say that fear, the acronym for fear, is false evidence appearing real. Don't let the devil get you so afraid of anything that it causes you to be discouraged. Because again, a discouraged Christian is a defeated Christian. He'll tell you that that sickness, that there's no help for it. He'll tell you that your children, there's no hope for them. He'll tell you that your marriage, there's no hope for it. He will cloud your mind with fear, but you've got to learn how to stand flat-footed on the word of God and say, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Don't let fear cause you to be discouraged. As a matter of fact, let me ask you, what are you afraid of? What problem do you have that's bigger than our God? Amen. What situation are you facing that you can't go through the Bible and find somebody else who went through the same thing and God didn't bring them out? Well, if you don't have any Bible witnesses, maybe we've got some witnesses in the room who can testify. Come on, let me call a roll. You were sick and the doctors didn't know how you were going to get help, but God stepped in and healed your body. You ought to stand on your feet as a witness. There's somebody you got in trouble. I don't care what kind of trouble it was, and it looked like you were going to be counted out, but God stepped in, opened a door, made a way, and you ought to give him praise. Come on, come on. Where are my folk who, in the midst of financial calamity, you didn't know how you were going to meet the bill. You didn't know how you were going to make the payment. But just when you were about to give up and throw in the towel, didn't God step in right in the nick of time? I need some witnesses in here who will tell somebody there's no need to be discouraged because God can make a way. He will make a way. So those are the causes of discouragement. I had another one I was going to throw in there. Amen. Failure. If you've ever fallen, if you've ever failed, amen, because it says in the text that it looked like they had failed and they thought about giving up because it looked like they could not succeed. But I want to tell you that even your past failures is no excuse for you to be discouraged. Oh my, oh my. I went online when I was dealing with this point and I Googled, I said, people who wanted to quit. And I was surprised to find out that Oprah Winfrey, a billionaire, amen, at some points along life's way, thought about giving up, thought about quitting, thought about throwing in the towel, but she had enough faith to hang on in there. And now she's a billionaire. I was surprised to find out that Tyler Perry, amen, who's, if he's not a billionaire, he's almost a billionaire. He tried to commit suicide twice in his life. He wanted to give up. He wanted to throw in the towel, but now he's doing great things. I was surprised to find out that Michael Jordan, that star basketball player, failed many times before he became one of the baddest and best basketball players in the history of the NBA. Whatever you do, don't give up. Whatever you do, don't throw in the towel. God is able to make a way for you. Now, I'm going to tell you three things that they did that you ought to do that will help you fight against discouragement. The first thing we see that they did is in verses 4 and 5.